This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Experiencing a temporary delay and has ceased operation.
There is a place very far from this world. You will be transported to this place. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shell Shock, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle podcast. Turtle Power.
All right, everybody, we have a special episode of Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World for you here. Because it's not Michael with me, we have a special off-week episode here, and it's introducing something new that'll be coming in the future to you. So with me is my guest for now, future podcast co-host, Joey. How's it going, Joey?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm tired. I was literally sleeping till like 10 minutes ago when you texted me that you were ready to do this. So I'm waking up now, though. It's cool. Some nights I'm wide awake. Some nights I'm like, my body just wants to go to sleep. But yeah, I'm very excited about this. We started talking about this earlier today. This kind of came kind of out of the blue all today. We were talking about doing something new with a podcast, but this specifically literally just came up today. I didn't even know that you liked what we're going to talk about here.
Yeah.
But we have decided to do a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle podcast. When we shopped this idea to Martin, he just said, it's about time Paul is doing a Ninja Turtle podcast. He knows I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan. I had no idea you were a Ninja Turtle fan. It's literally never come up. Not that we've had like a ton of conversations, but this is sort of the zero episode of that podcast. So we can kind of share where we're coming from and share what we're looking to do with my listeners on my podcast with Sparky. Kind of start laying the track work for it.
Yeah.
The first little story I'll share for the track work, we're actually just talking about a little bit off the episode, but we were trying to come up with a title for it, and we wanted something that was good but not too obvious, not too forced, not too awkward. It's always a little bit hard to think of what to do. We were bouncing stuff back and forth earlier, so I decided to go on iTunes and just like search TMNT and see what else was there, and I found another show on there with a title that I thought was pretty clever. Of course, we couldn't use that title. It was already being used, even if they haven't recorded in over a year. So we have no competition, apparently.
I don't think there's any other one out there, I don't think.
It's kind of surprising. There isn't much Ninja Turtle stuff. I remember years ago, I tried to find a Ninja Turtle podcast to listen to, and it was kind of rough going. There's one that I tried, and it just wasn't doing it for me. Hopefully, we could do something that's a little bit more palatable. But so we were bouncing stuff back and forth. My idea, which is the idea that we've decided to go with after thinking it through and bouncing it around, is to call the show Shell Shock. This is what I was just about to share with you. I said, I'm going to hold this and share it on the episode. But the reason I thought of Shell Shock, did you ever play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, on the Super Nintendo?
Oh, man. I think I did. It's been so long.
The Super Nintendo, I had a Nintendo before Super Nintendo, but the Super Nintendo was like my golden era for video games growing up. Like, that's when I really kind of hit my own stride with it. And that Ninja Turtle game, I loved that game. That game is still great. And I really wish that they would like remaster it or whatever and release it on modern systems, because it was such a good game. It was one of those like side-scrolling fighting game types where you could play multiplayer.
Yeah. Was it very similar to like a Street Fighter?
It wasn't like Street Fighter. There was a Ninja Turtle Tournament Fighters game that was like Street Fighter. That was just a straight up fighting game.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking about.
It might be, yeah. Like that game was also on Super Nintendo. This one was like Double Dragon or something like that, where you're like progressing through the level, the bad guys are coming in the screen, you're kicking their butts, you keep going forward.
I have played that one. I played it in the arcade that I actually picked up my comic book for the first time. That's where I played that game.
Nice.
now that I'm remembering, it's all flooding back to me.
You see, our histories are just melding together. I think you and I are about the same age, too, so we probably are going to, even though I'm sure we have different entry points or experiences, like, we're going to have some good reminiscing, I think.
Right, right.
But yeah, so the reason I thought of Shell Shock is in that game, when you get knocked out, they'll go, Shell Shock. And it's that kind of like a little bit synthesized vocals on the Super Nintendo games. That, like, that audio is still stuck in my head all these years later from playing that game. So that's actually what made me think of that, is I was thinking of that audio. You know, that was the reference that drew me into it and made me think of Shell Shock. That's how I came up with that idea. And yeah, so I mean, that's just one little aspect. It just shows how excited we are about this. We literally started talking about this earlier today while I was at work.
And it was just so perfect. The very first time that I ever picked up a comic book was not in a comic shop. It was actually in an ice cream shop that had, you know, they had those spin racks. And they had, you know, the magazine aisles and things like that. I walk in there and I would just rummage through the magazines, through the comic books. And then I would go and play some arcade games in the back and then walk home with some ice cream. That was my first experience ever reading any kind of comic book. And I think the first comic book I ever picked up and actually bought was an X-Men book, and then a Batman. And then my third one that I probably ever purchased in my life was a Ninja Turtles. But around that time, that's when the Ninja Turtles TV show was out in the 90s when I was a kid. That's what got me into this, because, you know, you had all those really cool TV shows out. You had the X-Men TV show, you had the Batman animated series, and then you have Ninja Turtles out. I think that's why those three are in my top, you know, three comic book characters. As you know, I do a Batman podcast with Bill, and then this was one of the ones that I needed. I was like, I need to do something Ninja Turtles, because I haven't talked about Ninja Turtles in quite some time. I haven't, you know, read anything in a little bit. And I was like, I need to get back into this, because anytime that I hear anything about them, it brings me back to my childhood. And I think that's why I kind of was excited about this project.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a big thing too for, you know, I think all comic readers, but I mean, we're adults. We have, you know, real jobs and kids and all that kind of stuff now.
Right.
That stuff that can bring us back to, like, the simple joys of childhood. I mean, I think everybody has that. You mentioned that you have those three, and you had the cartoon. Like, for me, I didn't read comics as a kid. Like, I didn't like comics when I was a kid. Uh-huh. My older cousin was into comics. And I think the part of the reason I didn't like comics as a kid is it was the 90s. And, like, I still look at, like, mainstream 90s comics. Yeah. And, man, those were rough, you know. I mean, just for my taste. And everybody has different tastes. People who grew up reading those feel differently, but it didn't appeal to me. I mean, I would look at his comics. I was intrigued by them. I was intrigued by the characters. Like, I liked the characters. Like, I remember he was always big into Spider-Man. He was into Daredevil. I find Spider-Man a little bit boring myself, but I still like, I mean, the comic. I still like the character Spider-Man. And Daredevil's actually one of my favorite characters. And I think that is rooted back into my cousin being a Daredevil fan. But yeah, so like, I didn't read the comics. So for me, as a kid, it was 100% the cartoon is what got me into Ninja Turtles. I loved the cartoon, watched it all the time. I remember the movies coming out, and like, I remember all of these little details. Like, I saw the first movie in the theater. I think my dad took me to see it. My uncle took me to see the second movie. And I remember he told me that when the third movie came out, he would take me to see it. And I never forgot that. The third movie came out, and he never asked to take me to see it. Yeah. I never said a word about it. He probably doesn't, you know, what, I don't know, 30-ish years later, still remember this. But yeah, like, I just remember, like, I was so excited about it. I was just waiting and waiting for him to ask. Finally, my dad ended up taking me to see it, but one of those things, like, I didn't hold it, like, I wasn't, like, upset that my uncle didn't take me, but I was still kind of like, I'm not going to ask him to, but, you know, I was, like, eager about it. That's how much I love Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, and, that's awesome.
I remember the last time I saw the cartoon on, well, the last time I should have, I went over to a friend's house after school, and his mom would not let us watch it. I watched it every day that it was on after school, and his mom wouldn't let us watch it. Said that there was no Ninja Turtles in her house.
Wow.
And I don't know what happened. I mean, it was, you know, pretty young then. I don't know if it changed time slots or if it actually went off the air then, but suddenly it was gone the next week. And like, never forgotten that. So I guess I got a couple of like kind of resentful stories.
It was because you didn't watch it that day.
It got canceled because that one, you know, one more viewer and we'll keep this, but nope, they didn't tune in. It's off the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I bet you that's probably what it felt like when you were a kid though, right?
Yeah, you know, I was pissed at my friend's mom for a long time.
But, I know, man, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, so I got back into it as an adult. Like, I mean, so the three movies all came out when I was a kid. I loved it as a kid, had tons of the toys, watched the cartoon, played the video games, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you jump forward, you know, as I said, I wasn't a comic reader. And years later, like, my foray into comics, it started dabbling a little bit with Kevin Smith comics when I was, like, just out of high school, and I got into Kevin Smith for a while. And it didn't take me that long to kind of get tired of Kevin Smith, and then I kind of stopped with comics again.
Yeah.
And then a few years down the road, I met my wife. We got married. She was an avid reader, so I kind of jumped into the same thing. I've always been a reader, but she is also, like, she's a natural speed reader, so she just flies through books like insane. And she was the one, like, I wasn't reading comics at all, and she was the one that said, we were, like, finding lists of books to find books to read, and there was Time Magazine's top 100 novels of the 20th century, and The Watchmen was on there. So she said, we should read this. So we went out and got it. And that was the second time that I ever read comics, was because she wanted us to get The Watchmen. I read it. I ended up reading comics for a while after that. That's when I got into Sandman, which is one of my favorite comic properties. I was kind of getting tired of what I was reading, so I just kind of stopped. I gave all my Sandman trades to a friend of mine that they had all of them, and they had gotten stolen, actually. She was a big Sandman fan, so I think I had read all but the last two. So I said, I'll give you everything I have if you buy the last two so I could read them. So we did that. Yeah. I finished reading Sandman, and I stopped reading comics again. We moved to Maine. I needed a new hobby. It was hard for me to read novels at that time because I was still working for the same job, but the store I was managing was very stressful. It was in bad shape when I took it over. So I decided, you know, I'm going to try comics again. And I actually started with Batman because I had avoided superhero comics before that. I was like, I don't want superhero comics. Dove into Batman because that's pretty approachable. It's a well-known character, but also kind of has that grittier edge that, you know, appeals more to adults.
Yeah.
So I started there, and then I kind of got into the X-Men, and then we were living down in Portland at the time, and there was a local shop. My wife saw they were having a sale. It was like right before Christmas, buy one, get one free on back issues. So she said, you should go and buy comic books. So I said, okay.
That's awesome.
If you're telling me to go buy comic books, I guess I should. Heck, so I go.
Yeah, let's do it.
and so they got me into Valiant Comics, which I think if it wasn't for that, I probably would have dabbled in comics again for a while and then kind of gotten bored with it. But I got really into Valiant Comics for a long time. And now I'm actually not even reading Valiant anymore. So that still feels kind of weird. But they got me to buy, I bought Archer and Armstrong and Bloodshot from Valiant. And it was right after the IDW TMNT series had launched, and I bought a few of those issues. And so I read the handful of issues I got, and I loved them all so much that I went back and I got everything that they had available, which wasn't a ton because actually all three of those series had just started pretty much like within a year. That's what hooked me in the comics right there. But that was also my my diving back into Ninja Turtles and just completely falling in love with what I loved as a kid. But there was just so much stuff I had never explored because I had never read any of the comics. So now there was this new IDW series, let alone the original Mirage series. And, you know, there's three volumes in between the Mirage, the original series, and the IDW series, plus all these like offshoots, you know, and just all kinds of other stuff. So now it's just been this whole world of stuff to explore pretty much.
That's cool. You know, you have a similar story than I do. You know, I grew up not really reading comics, and then, you know, once I walked into that ice cream shop, I picked up comic books, and I started collecting, reading the books, and pinning them up with the bag and board up on my wall, and things like that. And then, you know, here comes middle school, and getting a little bit older now, I get into skateboarding, and I find that, you know, girls like skateboarders, and they don't like geeks who read comics. So I was like, well, girls are going to start noticing me, maybe. That was a big maybe. And then if I cut my hair really cool, and that was back in the 90s when they, you know, the boys liked to wear the bangs, long bangs, and shave the rest of your head. Remember that?
Yeah.
I had some of those. That was a horrible style. But anyway, we'll never speak of this again, right? But
so, don't worry, nobody's going to hear this.
Nobody's going to listen to this, right? But anyway, I was skating and doing all this stuff, and I got out of comics for quite some time. And then, you know, I hit my, like, my early to mid 20s, you know, hanging out with the friends and stuff like that. I had a bunch of geek friends who would, you know, play Magic the Gathering, and they would read a lot of comic books and things like that. And I was like, hey, man, you know, they got these, you know, these graphic novels, these trades here that maybe I pick these up and read some of them. So I read a handful here and there. And then I started getting more into the comic books again. And then I got out of them again. And then once I got married, I started having kids, and then my son started getting older, and he started getting into these comic book characters and the Ninja Turtles and Batman and Superman and all this stuff. And his favorite was the Flash. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start collecting again. Maybe this can be something that I can share with my son that I used to love, you know, when I was his age and when I was getting a little bit older. You know, maybe I should start doing this again. I started getting, then I got back into it, and then I definitely got bit by the bug, and I started collecting. It's definitely one of those things that I was like, this is fun because this brings back so many different memories that I had, you know, as a kid reading these books. It takes me back to that ice cream shop every single time that I pick up a book. And I think I was like, I want to share this with my kids. You know, I want them to sit back and remember the first time that they ever opened up a comic book and what that felt like. And, you know, it's amazing. It's a pretty cool feeling. You know, Ninja Turtles, did it for me. I remember watching every single one of those movies. I watched probably every episode of the TV series. You know, and then once I heard that, you know, Nickelodeon was putting out all these other shows of the Ninja Turtles, I was like, man, this is awesome. I even watched all those. I watched the movie with my son, the animated movie. It's like, this is cool. You know, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember the musical that they did?
I know, I've never seen it, but I know about it.
Man, you know, guess what? I owned, at one point, I owned that musical. I remember, I owned it on VHS. I remember my mom coming home. I don't know where she got it from, but all I remember was us popping that thing in the VCR for the first time, throwing it on, seeing your favorite Ninja Turtles play music instruments. It was like, this is awesome, man. You know, it was pretty cool. And I could still remember one of my favorite scenes, you know, seeing Shredder come out for the first time on that stage in this musical is pretty stinking cool. And it's probably, now if I probably look it up, it's probably not as cool as I think. So I'm probably not going to look it up so that I don't get so upset at myself.
Yeah, I never got to see that as a kid, but.
Oh man, if you could find it, man, you know, watch it at least once. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, especially now that we're doing this podcast, I think that'll be something that'll, have to stay on my radar, see if I can get a hold of that to watch, and then we can do an episode around it.
You know, the one thing that I do hate about stuff like that is, you know, I used to own all these cool comic books and all these things, man. I don't know where the heck they all went. I wish I would have kept them all, man. I wish I would have been one of those guys who kept it all. Maybe they would be worth something. Maybe not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles musical, but that's probably not worth anything. At least, you know, some horrible memories.
Yeah, and you know, you touched on kind of your son getting you back into comics because he was interested, and it kind of opened the door for you to get back into it. For me, you know, I started reading comics before my son was born, but not by a long shot. I think we were already pregnant with him, but we hadn't had him yet when I started. I should say, like, when I first went to that comic shop and got Ninja Turtles, like, at that point. Uh-huh. I had been reading comics a little bit, but it was, like, right in that point where I started getting those. And I've always stuck with keeping up with all the IDW stuff. I had collected all the floppies. I had even, you know, like, been getting variants. I got real into it. I have a very, very, like, addictive, collective personality. It's like, if I start collecting something, I get addicted to doing it.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah, it could be bad. So I finally, like, just, you know, stuff changes, money gets high. I finally said, you know what? The problem is if I have this collection, I have the compulsion to add to it. So I actually sold off my whole Ninja Turtle collection. I kept a few things. By the time this comes out, the newest hardcover will be out. And so I have those. It's like, I know I have them to read, but I was like, I can't keep on getting the floppies because yeah. I'm just like, so, but then I went for a while without getting them. I was like, it was driving me nuts. So I actually have a mysterious benefactor. It's a friend of mine actually set up to get the main title. And he was doing that and TMNT Universe, but he was actually set up at my comic shop to get them for me because I couldn't afford to get comics at the time. And so now I TMNT Universe is done, but he's still getting me like the main IDW series. I'm getting a couple of other comics now, but I was like, I had stepped out of getting monthly comics at all for quite a while until he did that. So I never say who, like I've mentioned him before on podcasts, but I never say who it is because I don't know if he would like that or not. But yeah. He knows who he is, and I hope he'll listen to this, and thank you again.
That's pretty awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, little things to make a big difference for people, and that was definitely something that made a big difference for me, and kind of got it helps me keep my toes in a hobby that I loved without getting in too deep too, you know. So I've been keeping up with the IDW stuff. I mentioned to you when we were just messaging back and forth earlier about the Urban Legends series that they're releasing, and what that is it's actually a re-release of the Image TMNT series from the 90s.
Okay.
Which I think Image is volume 3, if I remember correctly, like in the how the volumes work. But so there was an Image series. It was a 90s series, so there's a lot of kind of what you'd expect from 90s Image comics, art style. It was actually a black and white comic. This re-release that they're doing now, it's actually colorized, which is really cool. So that's pretty cool. And it's a crazy series. I mean, it's a 90s Image action comic. It is as crazy as you would expect a 90s Image action comic to be. And so I'm reading it. I had read a little bit of it before, but it was very hard to get. So now that it's being released this way, of course, it's easy to get. But the cool thing is, so there were, I want to say 23 issues released, but then it got canceled before it was finished. So with this republishing of it, the original creators have actually made the final 3 issues to finish the story. So when it gets to the end of the run, the re-released run, they're going to release those 3 new issues that have never been released. Man. Those have just been made to finish story that they were telling. Yeah. So it'll be something that like it's never existed before.
That's
and
cool.
I was kind of torn about getting it because I was like, I know that once it's all out, I'm going to want to get they'll have some kind of a collection of the whole thing and I'll want to get that. But I just thought, you know what? There's something about this that I would like to just read monthly. And I think that reading it monthly is a lot, you get a lot more out of it with this series than with some stuff, because it's a 90s Image action comic, and it can, if you're reading it too quickly, it just gets to be like, oh man, this is a little too much of that, you know? But I think reading it just in one shot each month, it's just like this like crazy story to read each month. Like the very first issue, Raph gets half of his face burned off with acid. Donatello gets like practically killed and turned into a cyborg. Crazy. In the first issue. Shortly thereafter, Splinter gets turned into a bat. Like crazy stuff happens in this. It's pretty wild. So it's definitely something worth checking out if you love the Ninja Turtles and just want something totally crazy and unexpected, pretty much. But what's funny about it, this goes back to, you know, what I had mentioned about having something that roots you back into what you loved as a kid is I didn't read this Image book as a kid, but I loved the Ninja Turtles. So I can read this Image book that's been re-released by IDW, and I like it a lot because I love the Ninja Turtles. So it's not the greatest book if you're just looking at just basic quality judgments. But like for me, it's awesome. It's fun. It's crazy. It's different. But then other people who specifically love some 90s Image books that I think are awful think this is awful. So like it just goes like, you know, what did you grow up reading and what did you like, you know?
Yeah, it's all perspective, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the perspective plays so much into it. So you'll have to check it out at some point. I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the future, but it's a kick, that's for sure.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. Yeah, man. When I was talking to you about this, I was so excited about this. I was like, I want to do something with this because it brings back my childhood. And I wanted to do this podcast right. I was like, I want it to be structured and I want it to be, you know, something that I can be proud of, something that both of us can be proud of. And that would also excite us to be proud of this, you know, and we wanted it to be fun. So we kind of have this structure that we kind of agreed upon. We're going to kind of do like a quick introduction to the podcast. Each of us will pick one book. You'll pick a book. I'll pick a book to kind of read and talk about, have a discussion about. We'll get into one of our first segments, and I kind of called it secret of the segment, kind of like, you know, the secret of the ooze movie, you know? Like, so I kind of wanted it to play off of this Ninja Turtle theme. And this is kind of going to be like a mystery segment, you know. Each week we're going to have something a little bit different. It can be, you know, we can do a topic of the week, or if there's just something that, you know, like these new books that are coming out that we just have to talk about, we'll do something like that. Something that we're going to keep it new and fresh and exciting and fun, right? Then the next thing what we're going to probably do is we're going to jump into a little bit of a, you know, some TMNT trivia. We're probably going to go back and forth, kind of stump each other. And then we'll get into the second book. One thing that I really like doing over at the Batpod is one of my favorite segments that we do there is the character spotlight. So I kind of wanted to steal or borrow that idea from the Batpod and use that here. And I wanted to do a character spotlight because I love, you know, just diving deep into the character and the history of the character and things of that nature. So I thought that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that I love that idea. I think it's great for Ninja Turtles too, because the character design in right. Ninja Turtles, I think, is one of the greatest points. Like I showed you the commissions that yes. I have gotten.
I
over
wanted
the
to
years.
Talk about that too. Yeah, you had some great stuff.
Yeah, and like Bebop and Rocksteady are at least a part of three of them because I love those characters.
Yeah,
I think there's just a lot of great characters.
And then we'll kind of, you know, round out the show. We're going to kind of do like a quick show recap about what we talked about and our favorite points and things of that nature. And then we'll end the show. We're going to try to keep it fresh and exciting and fun, right? So that's kind of be the synopsis of our how we're going to be, you know, doing this show, the format of the show. So I thought that was pretty cool to talk about. In the spirit of this new show that we're doing, I've got some trivia for you. You ready for some trivia?
We'll see. Hopefully I'm waking up now.
All right.
Okay, everybody. I'm going to play TMNT quiz.
You've guessed it. It's time for some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trivia. Who's gonna come out on top? Sit back, have a slice of jelly bean pizza, and have some fun with us. So I'm gonna start off with something a little bit easy for you. How about that?
All right.
So
warm me up
here. This one's probably like an easy kiddie one. You know, my 8-year-old would get this one. What color were the bandanas of the Ninja Turtles when they first debuted?
Red. That was an easy one.
Super easy, right? Super easy, cheesy one, right?
So now you've got me all cocky and relaxed here. Now you're going to hit me with a hard one.
So here we go. This is another one. Who wrote the TMNT theme song?
I have no idea, actually.
So this one's kind of a hard one, man, because I didn't even know this one. This was actually pretty interesting, too. So Chuck Lorre wrote the theme song. But yeah, he's the producer of The Big Bang Theory. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So here's another one. This one is going to be kind of a trick question for you. And I hope that you get this one, but I'm kind of hoping not to. So it's kind of a trick question. So who is Hamato Yoshi?
Who is Hamato Yoshi? So that is kind of a trick question because it's different depending on what series or cartoon or whatever you're talking about, right? So in the original cartoon, Hamato Yoshi was Splinter. He got mutated into Splinter, right? In the original series, Hamato Yoshi was Splinter's owner, and Splinter was just a rat. And in the movie, Splinter was just a pet rat, right?
Right.
So like, I might be screwing those up a little bit, but ultimately, Hamato Yoshi, depending on you know which iteration you're talking about, he either is Splinter or was Splinter's master. Like you're in the IDW series, it's even a little bit crazier, where the turtles are like Splinter's reincarnated sons and like from a past life. So it gets kind of all over the place, but.
Yeah, you're right. Originally, he was, you know, Splinter's master, and Splinter was his pet rat. And then, like you said, later on, it was Splinter, and he was mutated into the rat. You're correct. So you got 2 for 2 on this one. Okay, so here's another. This one might be an easy, cheesy one, too, but we'll see how this one goes. And the Ninja Turtles comic was originally a spoof of what Marvel franchise?
But it took from quite a few things, but Daredevil was one of the primary things. They're the obvious relations, like the hand, the foot, Stick, Splinter, those kind of things. But Daredevil is one of the big influences. So I'm assuming that's the one that you're aiming for.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. There you go. You won this one. You won this round.
Yeah. I got that one wrong. I totally whiffed on the theme song one.
Pretty good though. Yeah, that was pretty good for the first try. You know, in the future we'll probably have some prizes and stuff like that. It'll be something fun. We'll get into that another time when we actually get into this for our first time. Kind of wanted to just kind of throw these out there a little bit. You did pretty good, man. That was pretty awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I like doing trivia stuff. I didn't have a chance to get anything together, but once we get going, I believe we'll kind of alternate quizzing each other on some stuff. I do have one thing that I just popped in my head when we were talking about the movies and stuff that I wanted to throw out there that I don't know how to pose it as a question. But do you know in the original movie, so you mentioned Secret of the Ooze, do you know why they did Toka and Razar as the mutant villains?
I always wondered that. Why is that?
I forget who it was that said they couldn't do it. It's probably Peter Laird. They said that they didn't have the technology to do Bebop and Rocksteady, so they wouldn't let them use them. So they created new monster characters to do, so that way they wouldn't do Bebop and Rocksteady wrong, basically. So
I see.
I always thought that was interesting because, you know, I've always wanted Bebop and Rocksteady in something, and then of course by the time we finally get it, it's being produced by Michael Bay, but that's another story. So.
You promised we weren't going to talk about Michael Bay movies.
I said I wasn't gonna creator bash Michael Bay. I didn't say I wouldn't mention it because I did see those movies, and you know, like, the ultimately I'll say, hey man, I got to see Ninja Turtles in the theater again, so you know, I got nothing to complain about.
I am gonna say those movies are fun. They're fun, man. But you know, there's gonna be people out there naysaying everything, right? And especially if there's people who were like you and I who grew up with Ninja Turtles, and they're definitely gonna say, you know, this is not my Ninja Turtles. This is not. But dude, I was so excited to see Krang. You know, I was excited, dude. I was excited to see Baxter Stockman. You know, this was some pretty fun stuff, dude. It was pretty cool. How about another bonus question? This one's just off the top of my head. So, what was April O'Neil's job? Her profession?
Once again, what iteration we're talking about matters. Are you talking about the cartoon, the original comic series? In the cartoon, she's a reporter. In the original comic, you know what? I'm not remembering offhand. I know that she had the thrift store in the comic, but I don't remember if that was her profession or just kind of a plot point in it.
So the one that I'm looking for is, you're right, she was a reporter, but she was Baxter Stockman's assistant.
Yep, yeah, and in the IDW series, she starts off as Baxter Stockman's assistant, and that series has gone on for, we're in the 80s in the numbering in that now. Like, even the original Mirage series that went pretty high in the numbering, it was very different. It wasn't exactly just a continuous story that was continuously building on itself. They did a lot of different things with that. And that's one of the things that I love about Ninja Turtles is Ninja Turtles, it's similar to like Hellboy, where there's this idea, this very like distinct different idea from the creators, and they create it and they make it, but they make this thing that can be used and molded and done by other people. As the Ninja Turtles went on, other creators got heavily involved, and there's been a lot of other creators working on Ninja Turtle stuff, but that's always kind of been how it was meant to be. It wasn't like Eastman and Laird made this when it was like, no, it's ours only, and the only reason other people ever made it is because they sold it. They were working with other people like from the get-go, like, you know, the original Mirage, the other people were writing books and drawing books once you got a certain, you know, certain length into it. So that's one of the things I've always loved about it. So anybody who ever says that this isn't what Ninja Turtles are supposed to be just don't know what the heck they're talking about, ultimately, because it's meant to be malleable and adaptable. Uh-huh. And gosh, we've had so many different presentations of the story and the characters over all these years.
Like what's going on right now in Nickelodeon, you know, they they have the Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I don't know if you know anything about that, but instead of Leonardo being the leader, it's Raphael who's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And at first when I was, you know, when I heard about that, I was like, I don't know if I like that much. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? This is kind of a cool thing. I'm not so upset that they're changing the whole, you know, the way, you know, I am used to the Ninja Turtles being, you know, cause I was a Leonardo fan. That was my guy, you know, I am Leonardo, you know, and I was like, for him not to be the leader, I was like, wait, what are you guys doing here? No, that's not the way I remember it. But, you know, I'm accepting it now. Yeah, I think it's all right. And what they're doing with that TV show, it's a fun TV show and it's exciting. My son really loves it. When I told him about that I was going to be starting this podcast with you, he's like, wait a minute, Dad, you and I are supposed to be doing a podcast about Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Why are you doing this to me? So it's like, so I have to do something with him sometimes. So this stuff is awesome. You know, I love it. This new generation is coming out with something that I love so much. They got something that they can love now.
It's awesome. Like my son, he's six and he likes Ninja Turtles okay, like, but he's never been huge into them. But he also, like, he had some severe language delays with his development. So seeing the way that he has gotten into stuff is quite different than typical. But he's very much like, he's into what interests him. He has just like such a widespread range of interests. Like he has his favorite things. Like Minecraft is far and away his favorite thing in the world.
Any other kid, right? Minecraft and Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. He's actually getting more into Pokemon right now. But yeah, just like whatever piques his interest. So like the Ninja Turtles just haven't piqued his interest more than anything else. So like it has his interest a little bit. And so everybody assumes that he must really love Ninja Turtles because I love Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Yeah, he likes them okay. But I did get him the comic for the Rise of series that you're talking about. Like they had the Zero issue a little before even the comic series started. I got that. So I've read that and I was a little bit like, what's going on in here? It was you know, pretty different, but it's great that they do that. I mean, they had just had that, you know, the Nickelodeon series that ran before it for quite a while, and that was a fantastic series. So you're not just going to like reboot and do the same thing again. I would actually rather them do what they did and change it up and do something different. There's quite a bit of things that are different about that series. I haven't been able to watch the cartoon at all. We don't have cable and I haven't like pursued like seeing it in any other way yet, but I will at some point because I mean the series that came before it was really good. I didn't quite watch the whole series. At a certain point I did kind of get to the point where I was like, okay, I'm getting a little tired of this. I mean, they did so many fantastic things in that series. Like, even like they had the episode where they ran into their 80s counterparts, and that was great. It made me think of
that was so awesome. I love that episode. Yeah,
the other ninja. The second Ninja Turtle cartoon had the Turtles Forever episode that you can get on DVD. Have you ever seen that?
I think maybe. I have to kind of refresh my memory on that one.
You'd probably remember it, so you might not have, but you should get it and watch it. It is so this is the 2000 something Ninja Turtle cartoon series, and it's quite different from the original series. But whatever happened, I forget exactly what happens, but I can't remember if they go into the world of the 80s characters or vice versa. But then they end up going back to the world of the original Ninja Turtles.
I think it had to do with some kind of portal or something like that off the top of my head. I can't remember.
Yeah, is it something Krang was doing, I'm sure. But but yeah, and that was fantastic. And basically, like the Nickelodeon series did something similar again with like the Nickelodeon and Turtles going back to, you know, tying in with the original 80s ones. Like that kind of stuff is just so much fun because you see all the differences and they even highlight the differences in Turtles Forever when they go back to the Mirage series where like all of them are like scared to death by the original Ninja Turtles, you know, because they're a lot scarier. I mean, the original issue of Ninja Turtles, there's blood dripping off the sword. It's like they killed people in that one, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So the ones from the 2000 series make fun of the ones from the 80s. Like, look, they got their initial on their belt. it's great. But did you want me to talk about the commissions I have? You mentioned that.
Yes, I wanted you to talk about the commissions. You had some really cool stuff that you showed me. You sent me some stuff over the phone, and I was like, man, these are awesome. You had some really cool stuff there. Talk about your commissions pretty real quick.
I've only been able to go to two conventions in all the years I've been into comics, and the first one was put on by the first comic shop I went to, and that one they had a Ninja Turtle panel, and I went with my buddy Kyle, who's a Ninja Turtle fan. He was kind of getting into comics for a while, so we went and we met J.K. Woodward. He's a big Ninja Turtle fan, but I believe that the only work he's ever done for Ninja Turtles is he did a variant cover for one issue. And when we saw him at the convention, he had the art for that variant cover, but it wasn't even like solicited yet or anything. So it was kind of cool because we got to see it ahead of time. He's better known for a lot of Doctor Who and Star Trek stuff. Like that's been his last few things have been Star Trek, because he's like a freelancer, but he's been working for IDW mostly on Star Trek. And IDW had Doctor Who, but they don't anymore. So that's why he hasn't done Doctor Who for a while. So he was there, and the other guy doing the panel was Eric Burnham, who he has written a handful of stuff for Ninja Turtles, and he's still one of my favorite Ninja Turtle writers too for the IDW series. So we go in, and like it's not real crowded in there, but I walk right up to the front and sit right down in front of them, and so that impressed JK, because like I basically sat down right in front of him, that we were like front row and eager about this, you know. So it was a fun panel, and then after the panel we go over and we meet JK at his booth, and we're talking with him. Like, I've never done this before, so I don't really know what to expect or what's, you know, like appropriate. So after a while, we're like, okay, we'll leave you be. We don't want to like tie you up too long. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just standing here bored. I end up asking him if he can do a commission for me, because his commission prices are also like stupid low. So that Krang that I got, he did it for like $25. But I didn't have any money left on me. So we were going back the next day. It was a 2-day convention and we had like tickets for both days. So I was like, I would like you to do a commission. Is it okay if I pay you tomorrow? And he was like, yeah, just make sure you do, because, you know, he needs the money obviously to do it. I was like, oh yeah, I'll definitely be back tomorrow and, you know, I'll give you the money. So that's how I got the Krang, and we ended up hanging out with him. We asked him if he wanted to grab a drink after the show, so we ended up like hanging out in the hotel bar with him for a while after the show and got a couple beers. We're hanging out with him, and all these other comic people start flooding out into that area because the shop putting on the show is taking them all out to dinner afterwards in downtown Portland. One of the guys that works at the shop that was like he and the shop owner put on the convention comes over and is like, hey, do you guys want to go too? So we're like, okay. So we go with them. And so, like, not only did we just hang out with JK for, like, a good probably over an hour there, then we go to dinner and we're hanging out with him and, you know, getting food, getting more beer and stuff like that. Just had a great time. Then the one that I texted you right above that, which is Raphael and Michelangelo dressed up like Archer and Armstrong from Valiant Comics. I got that from JK at the only other convention I went to, which was in New Hampshire. He was there at the show, and he had a day where he had a guest pass and nobody to use it. So he asked if I wanted to come down and use it. So I did. So I got that from him. And then at the same show, the one above it, the Bebop and Rocksteady by C.P. Wilson, I was looking who was at the show that had done any Ninja Turtle work. C.P. Wilson had done some Ninja Turtle work, so I messaged him ahead of time about doing a commission and asked him if he would do that Bebop and Rocksteady. And I love his Ninja Turtle artwork.
That's my favorite one of all the ones you sent me.
Yeah, I love that. He did, I think, one issue of Turtles in Time, and it's just fantastic. Okay. I have a couple of covers that he did. Like, I didn't keep a whole lot of stuff, but his covers, I kept every one that I had.
Yeah.
Because I just absolutely love his art style. I sent you the one that is a pencil drawing of Splinter with some blue and red on it. That was a friend of mine who worked for Valiant Comics. So, like, when we were doing the podcast for the Valiant Central podcast and everything, I got to know him. He ended up playing in my fantasy football league for a couple of years. He actually ended up buying the comic shop that I went to when I lived in California.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, he bought a place. I mean, I wasn't like going there avidly or anything, but like it was the comic shop that was around. I went there quite a few times.
Yeah.
He had the artist who did this, and like I could tell that his first name is Chris looking at the picture, but honestly, I can't remember his second name off the top of my head. But he did the art for one of the issues when they were going around trying to get the different people to testify against Krang. And he did one of those issues. So he had him at the store signing, but he was selling this bundle where you could buy the whole series, like all five issues, and get a head sketch like this on a comic backer for, it was like $25 or something like that. So I was like, hey, I'll send you the money for it. So that's how I got that. It's just beautiful. Above that is Rafer Roberts, who we got to know because he started doing stuff for Valiant. He does great commissions. I talked to him about doing Bebop Rocksteady, just because his style works so well with, like monster type characters. So I sent him that, the sketch cover, and he did that one. I love that one too.
Yeah. It's
and then the one above that is the one that I had been thinking about getting for years and kind of playing with different ideas. And it all started when they did the Batman TMNT crossover. My first idea for it was Rocksteady breaking Batman's back, you know, just like Bane on the cover of that Nightfall issue. Yeah, you know, that's what I want to do. And it's like, of course, like a commission like that, it took me quite a while to be in the right place to afford it. But that's what I wanted to do. But then you get to the issue of the IDW series where Bebop and Rocksteady beat Donatello pretty much to death. And when I read that issue, I was like, well, that's what I want to do. Like, they just broke Donatello's back. You know, they beat him up, broke his shell, and, you know, left him for dead.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I was like, that's perfect. I messaged, that's J.K. Woodward also, who did those, the first two. That was like, that's my holy grail of commissions, I guess. Like, I wanted that. Like, the only thing that could make it better is if I had been able to afford to get it in color, but I've wanted that for years before I got it. So that's my crown jewel on my wall.
And that's pretty stinking cool.
Because some artists, like, it costs, you know, they charge a lot for commissions.
Oh, man.
But J.K., like, much. I mean, this was years ago that he did it for $25, so I'm sure he's charging, some more than that now, but it's still pretty affordable. But, like, Rafer Roberts, I think including shipping, it was, like, $40 for that one.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, you talk to artists. Like, if you ever go to a convention, check out what artists are going to be there. You know, it might have interest in what you would want done. So like if you wanted something Ninja Turtles done, I would look for somebody who's, you know, done anything in Ninja Turtles. And then, like, I just messaged them as like, how much would it cost for this? And, you know, kind of find out if they're taking commissions, like, you know, what they do and that kind of a thing. That's what I did with the C.P. Wilson one, which is one of my favorite ones because I really love that, you know, pen and ink style too. And his art style is fantastic.
It's all about, you know, just being really cool with them, stuff like that. The conventions that we have here, this last year I was able to work, the convention. I was in the, I was working Artist Alley, and I got to work very closely with a handful of, all the artists actually that we had there. And we had some, big names and stuff like that. You know, I'm not going to drop any names, you know what I mean? But I'll probably talk to you later on off the air and let you know the kind of people that I was working closely with. But there's some pretty cool stuff. I actually went home with a handful of stuff, man, for free that they gave me. There was actually one guy who was a pretty stinking cool, inker, who works on some Batman stuff and some current Batman stuff. And I think he's going to be coming out with some Batman stuff pretty soon. But him and his wife, they like sent me home with like, dude, seriously, like hundreds of dollars worth of free swag. And I recently looked up some stuff. The stuff that he gave me, man, were like anywhere from like $50 to $75 worth. And it's some pretty stinking cool stuff. I'll probably talk to you about that later on. But man, there's some really cool people when you start talking to them, hanging out with them, and being, you know, real with them. Instead of, you don't want to be a fanboy or a fangirl, and that's the kind of stuff that they don't like, you know. That kind of like standoffish kind of thing. But when you just treat them like normal people, like you and I, they start to kind of like open up a little bit, and they get a little bit more comfortable. And I think that's the way you got to treat anybody, right? I've never been that fanboy who's like, oh my gosh, look who it is. You know, they're people too. They just happen to be, you know, have my dream job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just hit the nail on the head right there. Like, and that's how I've always approached to getting commissions. I think that's why I've always got really good pieces is like all like the Krang one. I didn't go up to JK and say, hey, I want you to do Krang. I said, hey, I want a commission. Who do you want to do? And he said, would it be cool if I do Kring? I'd like to do that. It's like, yeah, that'd be awesome, you know, because if they want to do what they're doing,
yeah,
they're going to be throwing a little more into it because it's more fun to them, you know, and exactly. And as long as it's a character that I want, like, what does it matter how they go about it? Or like in that case, like, I didn't even care what character it was. Just like, do whatever Ninja Turtle character you want to do. It's not going to, you know, like anything you do, I'm going to love. So
yeah, man, I'm pretty excited about this project, dude. This is going to be pretty fun. We could talk all day about this stuff.
Yeah, I think we've already gone twice as long as we intended to, and I feel like we can still keep going, you know?
Right. Right.
But yeah, so this is probably a good place for us to wrap it up. So you can find me on Twitter at Who's Paul. You can find you on Twitter where?
At JoeyGalvez84.
You can find both of us on our other podcasts. Obviously, you're listening to this one, which is Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World, filling in with Joey today on the Nerdy Legion Network at nerdylegion.com. And Joey does the Bat Pod with Bill. Can they find you guys on Twitter elsewhere for that podcast as well?
Yeah, you can find the Bat Pod at PodBat.
All right. So that's where you can find us. This Ninja Turtle project will be in the works and will probably be coming out sometime in January, but we got some work to do just to get all the pieces put together and to get some content flowing before we start releasing, and plus getting the feed set up and all that. So look for that in January coming to the Nerdy Legion Network. And I guess that's it. We will call it a night.
All right. We'll see you later. Thank you.